Thank you for joining Reading International's earnings call to discuss our 2018 first quarter results. My name is Andrzej Matyczynski. I'm Reading's Executive Vice President of Global Operations. With me as usual are Ellen Cotter, our CEO, and Dev Ghosh, our EVP and Chief Financial Officer. As usual, before we begin the substance of the call, I'll start by stating that in accordance with the Safe Harbor provision of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, certain matters that will be addressed in this earnings call may constitute forward-looking statements. Such statements are subject to risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause our actual performance to be materially different from the performance indicated or implied by such statements. Such risk factors are clearly set out in our SEC filings. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements. In addition, we will discuss non-GAAP financial measures on this call. Reconciliations and definitions of non-GAAP financial measures, which are segment operating income, EBITDA, and adjusted EBITDA, are included in our recently issued 2018 first quarter earnings release on the company's website. In today's call, we also use an industry-accepted financial measure called theater-level cash flow, which is theater-level revenues less direct theater-level expenses. Please note that our comments are necessarily summary in nature, and anything we say is qualified by the more detailed disclosure set forth in our Form 10-Q. So with that behind us, Dev will be talking to us about the financial results for the first quarter a little later, but first I'll turn the call over to Ellen, who will update us on the company's operations for what has turned out to be an exciting year for the company.
Thanks, Andrzej, and thank you everyone for joining us today and sending in your questions. Like we've done in the past, we've tried to address many of your questions in our prepared remarks. And as always, we're available for follow-up calls to discuss our operations and strategy. The first quarter of 2018 was a terrific quarter for Reading. We set multiple records. At $75.8 million, our total revenue set an all-time record high for any quarter. At $5.6 million, our first quarter operating income represented the highest first quarter. Our first quarter 2018 net income of $3 million and EBITDA of $11 million represented the highest first quarter since 2015 and the second highest first quarter on record. I'd note that in February of 2015, we had a $2.8 million one-time gain on sale from our Doheny condo in Los Angeles. Excluding our gain on sale from Doheny, the first quarter of 2018 would have been our highest first quarter ever for net income and EBITDA. I point this out because I believe it demonstrates the strong organic growth we're delivering across our global operations in both our cinema and real estate divisions. Our first quarter results were driven by our global cinema divisions. Our Australian cinema division enjoyed a 7% increase in revenues, which was supported by the first full quarter of operations of our newly constructed, state-of-the-art Reading Cinema at Newmarket Village, just outside of Brisbane. Our cinemas in New Zealand performed favorably compared to 2017, when our Reading Cinemas at Courtenay Central was closed for most of 2017's first quarter due to the November 2016 earthquake. And we grew our U.S. cinema division revenues by 5% as we continued to execute on our global cinema strategy. During the first quarter of 2018, we invested just over $23.2 million in capital improvements in both our existing real estate and cinema portfolios, which included the buyout of our previously leased U.S. digital projectors. First, let's look at our cinema business, which offers diversification and strategic benefits through operations in three countries, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. Our consolidated annual cinema revenues of $72.3 million increased by 9% compared to first quarter 2017. While the industry braced for a slower quarter compared to last year, the slate from the major studios, including the cultural phenomenon and record-setting Black Panther, was still strong and supported our positive overall global performance. In addition, as I'll touch on in a few minutes, the performance of many of our cinemas demonstrated the successful execution of our global cinema strategy. Each of our cinema divisions in the United States, Australia, and New Zealand, in their native currencies, delivered the highest first quarter revenue on record. This revenue drove our first quarter 2018 cinema segment operating income to $10.3 million, representing a 13% increase over first quarter 2017, and a first quarter record high for this financial metric. Turning to Australia, we performed well with cinema revenues in Australia of $26.7 million, representing a 7% increase versus last year. Additionally, we outperformed the Australian cinema industry on a box office basis by just about 8%. Despite a 2% attendance decline, our revenues outperformed historical levels driven by our premium auditoriums, Titan Lux and Titan XC screens, and our Gold Lounge and premium auditoriums. Also, the first quarter of 2018 was the first full quarter of operation of our new Reading Cinemas at Newmarket Village. We don't think the dip in attendance is symbolic of anything other than that the 2018 first quarter slate was not as strong as 2017. The first quarter 2017 movie slate, which included Beauty and the Beast, Logan, Lion, and Sing, provided a more appealing overall slate for our Reading Cinema audience in Australia. Our cinema revenue in New Zealand at $7.6 million increased by 41%. This increase was primarily attributable to Courtenay Central having been temporarily closed for most of the first quarter in 2017 due to the November 2016 earthquake. Reading Cinemas at Courtenay Central is and has historically been our highest grossing cinema in New Zealand. With a 5% increase in our U.S. cinema division revenue, our U.S. cinemas outperformed the industry by just over 7%. Despite a 2% attendance decline, our quarterly revenue performance was led by positive performances in our Titan Lux and Titan XC screens, increased food and beverage offers. Once again, we don't think the first quarter 2018 dip in attendance is symbolic of anything other than the first quarter 2018 slate was just not as strong as 2017, and in the U.S., half of our screens at our Reading Cinema in Manville, New Jersey, were closed for recliner seating upgrades. I'll also note that our U.S. cinema attendance in April 2018 was the highest April on record. In the first quarter of 2018, we continued to execute on our global cinema strategy. Our goal is to deliver to our guests not only the most comfortable cinematic experience, but also one that features a state-of-the-art presentation through a premium auditorium experience with a uniquely lobby-designed space and elevated food and beverage offerings that match our local markets. At our Reading Cinema in Murrieta, California, we've now completed a major renovation. In addition to F&B upgrades, which I'll touch on shortly, we installed recliners in all 17 auditoriums, converted two auditoriums to Titan Lux, and significantly improved the design of our lobby to create a memorable overall experience for our guests that maximize returned visits. We also completed the installation of recliner seating in 6 of the 12 auditoriums at our Reading Cinema in Manville, New Jersey during the first quarter. This project was completely finished in April 2018. In Australia, this was the first full quarter of operation of Reading Cinemas at Newmarket Village, where we now offer a Titan Lux and two Gold Lounge screens in a beautifully designed theater. During the first quarter of 2018, we also completed renovations at two of our existing Reading cinemas. At our Charlestown Reading Cinema in New South Wales, we converted one auditorium to a Titan Luxe with recliner seating and two other screens to our premium offering, which also features recliner seats. We completed a similar renovation at our Reading Cinema in Elizabeth in South Australia. Our strategic focus on food and beverage continued across the global circuit and helped drive our record performance. Each of our three cinema divisions, on a functional currency basis, set first quarter F&B revenue records. In Australia and New Zealand, our F&B revenues in functional currency increased by 3.5% and 50.2% respectively against the prior year. Again, most of the increase in New Zealand related to Courtenay Central being closed during the first quarter of 2017. And in the United States, our first quarter 2018 F&B revenues increased slightly over first quarter 2017. We continued to achieve first quarter F&B per cap records in our U.S. and New Zealand cinema divisions. In the U.S., our first quarter F&B per cap was $4.63. And in New Zealand, our F&B per cap was $4.18, calculated in functional currency. On March 30th of this year, we soft launched Spotlight, our first U.S.-based dine-in concept at our Reading Cinema in Murrieta, California. In six of our 17 auditoriums at this theater, we offer waiter service before the movie begins with a full F&B menu, luxury recliner seating, and a laser focus on customer service. We continue to improve our guest technology experience and increase our revenue through our online ticketing capabilities. During the first quarter of 2018, we increased our online gross service fee revenue to $1.1 million, which represented a 36% increase from the first quarter in 2017. Led by Black Panther and Jumanji, online ticket sales had a record first quarter in all countries, exceeding previous first quarter records by as much as 54%. With an improved online sales infrastructure to better handle high sales volume, Black Panther set daily and weekly online record ticket sales in all countries. And to further improve online experience on our U.S. branded websites, during the first quarter of 2018, we launched the sale of electronic gift cards, guest-enabled online refunds, and social sharing. We're aiming to launch our Australian and New Zealand branded ticketing apps before the end of the year. Our cinema pipeline includes three new Reading cinemas in Australia, two of which have been previously announced, South City in Brisbane and Traralgon outside of Melbourne. The third location is in Victoria and will hopefully be announced soon. We anticipate bringing these new cinemas online in 2019 and 2020. Our teams in the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand continue to pursue new build opportunities and explore potential acquisitions of reasonably sized circuits that meet our risk and return thresholds. Turning now to our property business. Our first quarter real estate revenue of approximately $6 million increased by 32% compared to the same period in 2017. The primary drivers were increased Australian rental income due to new tenants in our recently expanded entertainment theme centers, or ETCs, in Newmarket Village and Redyard in Auburn, just outside of Sydney. A full quarter of revenue in 2018 from Courtenay Central in Wellington, New Zealand, which was closed for most of the first quarter of 2017. And increased revenue from our live theater business in the U.S. Our first quarter real estate operating income of $1.6 million increased by 26% compared to the same period in 2017. Again, the primary drivers were Newmarket Village, Redyard in Auburn, and Courtenay Central in New Zealand. This was partially offset due to the increases in depreciation due to the moving of our Los Angeles headquarters from rented space to space in a building we now own in Culver City, and a decline in lease revenue due to a fire at our property in Chicago. We have business interruption insurance that we anticipate will make up for the lost income in Chicago resulting from the fire, but revenues from this insurance will not be booked until they are received. I'll cover a few of the quarterly highlights related to our real estate portfolio. Turning to Newmarket Village in Australia. The first quarter 2018 marked the first full quarter of operation of our Newmarket Village expansion. In December 2017, we added a new 8-screen state-of-the-art Reading Cinema with both Titan Lux and two Gold Lounge screens and delivered just over 10,000 square feet of new F&B retail. Today, 93% of this new retail space has been leased, and our patrons are enjoying new restaurants like Sushi Ito, Little Red Dumpling, and Miss Claude's French Crepes. We expect the remaining tenancy to be leased soon. Creatively engaging with the local community is a priority at Newmarket Village. On May 27th, we'll host the new Bark It Dog Festival. The agenda for this fun and unique festival includes dog parades, puppy yoga, pet photography, pampering sessions, dog first aid, and trick and obedience workshops. For those of you who are not familiar with our property at Red Yard in Auburn, it's a center located on Parramatta Road, which is one of the busiest arterial roads in the Sydney area. When we bought the property in the late 1990s, we bought it at a price that reflected the fact that the Telstra Corporation owned an approximately 17,000 square foot building on Parramatta Road, situated essentially right in the middle of our property, abutting our property on three boundaries. Over the last couple of years, we've worked around the property and constructed incremental tenancies around the Telstra building. The first quarter of 2018 reflected the full rental revenue from these newly constructed tenants around the Telstra building. On April 11, 2018, Telstra put this property up for public auction. At the end of a lively in-person auction, which attracted a number of private bidders, we were able to acquire the property for $3.5 million U.S. dollars or $4.5 million Australian dollars. Due to its key location, we believe that the property will add synergistic value to our center. Moreover, as the property is subject to a lease back to Telstra, an investment-grade tenant, through September 2022, we will be able to enjoy cash flow from the property from day one while we develop a comprehensive plan to integrate it into Red Yard. With this recent acquisition, Red Yard in Auburn represents approximately 520,000 square feet of land with approximately 1,600 feet of uninterrupted frontage on Parramatta Road. Today, Red Yard has ongoing construction as we're investing in the improvement and engagement of the center's common areas. During the first quarter, we also continued the repositioning of our ETC in Belmont, a suburb of Perth in Western Australia. Not only did we upgrade the Reading Cinema at the end of 2017, we also completed an extensive facade upgrade and improved our tenant F&B offer with the opening of two new restaurants, Tavolo and Dome Cafe. During the first quarter, we also secured Tao Cafe, a well-known local Asian-inspired restaurant, as a tenant and whom we expect to open for business before the end of 2018. A brief update on our 70.4-acre site in Manukau, adjacent to the Auckland International Airport in New Zealand. During the first quarter, we continued to work with our neighbors in the Southern Gateway Consortium on an infrastructure work program that the Auckland City Council has required to be completed before any development proceeds on our property there. Now turning to the U.S. Over the last quarter, we continued to pace with the construction of our 44 Union Square project in New York City. Today, all of the floors of the building through the fifth floor have been poured and are now available for prospective tenants to tour. We anticipate that the project will be ready for the commencement of tenant fit-out at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2018. We are constructing in the heart of New York City, essentially a new building that has retained two historic facade walls dating back to 1929 when the original Tammany Hall was built. As one might expect when dealing with the redevelopment of a historic building in Manhattan, we encountered some site conditions that caused delays. We've navigated these delay challenges, and with most of the floors having been poured, our focus is on the iconic and award-winning glass dome. Our exclusive leasing agent, Newmark Knight Frank, continues to guide us through the leasing process. Newmark and the company remain confident about the leasing. The building presents well, and it's much easier now for people to conceptualize the space since all but one of the floors can be accessed by potential tenants. The Midtown South office market remains strong. The quality of the potential office tenants we're talking to support our ongoing enthusiasm about our signature project. We're engaged in discussions with global companies, talking about this one-of-a-kind opportunity to brand to the powerful demographic that resides in and around Union Square. As we've said before, the office leasing may be completed before the retail space on the lower floor. That is, unless the best opportunity for us to pursue is a full building user. As construction progresses and we observe firsthand the fully realized potential of the space being created, the company is increasingly comfortable with the prospect of completing base building construction prior to executing leases. We feel the physical experience of the space reveals its unique benefits better than our marketing materials. We are equally confident that the prospective tenants actually experiencing the space will drive higher rent offers from stronger, more prestigious credit tenants, as 44 Union Square undoubtedly offers a unique long-term branding opportunity for top-tier tenants. The executive team continues to believe that this iconic building in a dynamite location will lease on rental terms consistent with our original pro formas. Our board of directors and management team is also focused on improving our technology and cybersecurity systems in order to elevate Reading standards on many levels. During the first quarter of 2018, we launched an updated corporate website at readingrdi.com, which features an improved real-time investor relations section. Also, on May 8, 2018, our board of directors appointed Guy Adams, an existing board member, as our lead technology and cyber risk director. Mr. Adams' charge will be to ensure the company has taken appropriate steps to protect itself against cyber risks and take appropriate steps to drive our technology forward. With that, I'll turn the call over to Dev for a financial review of the first quarter.
Thank you, Ellen. Now I'll discuss the financial results for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2018. Consolidated revenues for the first quarter of 2018 increased by 9% to $75.8 million. This was primarily driven by 1. The opening of a new state-of-the-art 8-screen theater on December 14, 2017 in Newmarket, which is in Brisbane, Australia. Secondly, the reopening of our Courtenay Central Cinema in Wellington, New Zealand on March 29, 2017. And then finally, increases in average ticket prices in our U.S. and Australian cinemas. And fourthly, an increase in spend per patron across all jurisdictions. Net income attributable to RDI common shareholders increased slightly to $3 million for the first quarter of 2018, principally due to the increase in cinema circuit segment operating income due to the reopening of our Courtenay Central ETC in Wellington, New Zealand, which was closed for the majority of the first quarter of 2017 due to the earthquake in November 2016, along with increased operating income from our U.S. operations. These were offset by increased non-segment G&A expenses, as well as lower other income due to the one-off gain in 2017 from foreign exchange gain on short-term funds held in our foreign operations. For the quarter, EPS of 13 cents was flat to the prior year. Our non-segment general and administrative expenses for the quarter ended March 31, 2018, compared to the same period of the prior year, increased by 30% or $1.4 million. This increase is mainly due to higher non-recurring legal expenses incurred on the derivative litigation, the Cotter Employment Arbitration, and other Cotter litigation matters, and due to increases in headcount, annual salary increases, and the timing of recording changes in variable compensation this year compared to 2017. Income tax expense decreased by $548,000 for the quarter ended March 31, 2018, compared to the equivalent prior year period. The change between 2018 and 17 is primarily related to lower pre-tax income, the reduction of the U.S. statutory corporate tax rate as a result of the Tax Act, and a net increase in foreign tax credit. Shifting to cash flows, our net cash provided by operations for the quarter ended March 31, 2018 was $2.5 million, which is a $2.1 million increase from the comparable period of 2017, which was primarily driven by $1.7 million of higher cash flows from operating activities, as well as a $450,000 decrease in net operating assets due to working capital changes. In quarter one 2018, the $23.5 million of cash used in investing activities was mainly related to our ongoing real estate development and cinema refurbishment activities. We repaid borrowings by $9.7 million and took on additional net borrowings of $26 million. Turning now to our financial position, our total assets increased by $3.5 million to $426.6 million. Of our total cash balance amount, $1.9 million and $1.4 million were held by our Australian and New Zealand subsidiaries, respectively. We manage our cash, investments, and capital structure so that we are able to meet short-term and long-term obligations for our businesses while maintaining financial flexibility and liquidity. Our liquidity position remains strong with $8.7 million of cash on our balance sheet at March 31, 2018, and approximately $125.3 million of additional capacity under our borrowing arrangements at that time in the U.S., Australia, and New Zealand, with $64 million of that $125.3 million being unrestricted capacity. Our global operating strategy is to conduct our business mostly on a self-funding basis, except where it's organizationally and economically better for us to move funds between the jurisdictions in which we do business. As of March 31, 2018, we have debt outstanding of $150.2 million, and our debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio, excluding debt that's allocated to facilities under construction and thereby not generating any EBITDA, that continues to be strong at below 2x coverage. And with that, I'll now turn the call back to Andre.
Thanks, Dev. First, I'd like to thank our stockholders for forwarding questions to our investor relations email. We were very pleased with the number of inquiries. We've compiled a set of questions and answers that represents the most common questions and recurring themes that were emailed to us. As always, we are available after the webcast to address any additional questions and encourage you to continue reaching out. The first question will be for Dev. How does the 2017 tax reform law impact Reading International's ongoing tax strategies?
The tax reform's greatest impact to Reading International is the reduction of the U.S. corporate tax rate from 35% to 21% and generous depreciation deductions on newly acquired tangible assets. The lowering of the U.S. tax rate and the beneficial depreciation methods puts Reading International in an environment in which the U.S. is a lower tax jurisdiction compared to the two other foreign jurisdictions we operate in, Australia and New Zealand, where the tax rates are 30% and 28% respectively. This change provides opportunities for the company to reconsider its management fee, transfer pricing arrangements, and its global capital structure such that the company continues to maintain an optimal worldwide effective tax rate. Reading International also benefits from the repeal of the alternative minimum tax, which permits about 2 million in AMT credits to be used in the form of a prepaid income tax to thus reduce U.S. tax payments.
Question. We received a number of questions about the status of the Cinemas 123 development in New York City, and Ellen will address that.
To date, we have not been able to reach an agreement with our neighbors as to what our respective ownership interests would be. As we've said in the past, we're poised to start this project on our own. We've retained counsel to begin certain land use work, which will be needed whether we go it alone or a joint venture project is pursued. We want to reiterate that we're quite fortunate to have strong, irreplaceable New York City properties in our portfolio to provide our company with a strong asset base. We believe that our cinema and property businesses differentiate Reading from our peers and position us well for the future, as we're able to generate strong and consistent cash flow while having opportunities to acquire and hold properties as they gain significant value. This is and will continue to be our business plan. In the interim, we continue to use the Cinema 1, 2, and 3 as a site as a movie theater, a state-of-the-art movie theater in Manhattan.
Thanks, Ellen. We had a couple of questions regarding our debt structure, and Des is going to field those. The first of those, with the expected maturity of U.S., New Zealand, and Australian loans in 2019, are they going to be refinanced prior to adding to Reading's working capital deficit by allowing them to be classified as current maturities of long-term debt?
We are in active discussions with our key lenders in Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S. to refinance our existing primary credit facilities and extend the duration of the maturity of all of our credit facilities. We would expect to accomplish this well before the loans are due. On a recent visit to Australia and New Zealand, I had what I would characterize as very good meetings with National Australia Bank and Westpac Bank, our two key banks down under, about longer-term renewals of our credit facilities in those countries. In the US, we are having very productive discussions with existing lenders as well about renewing and or replacing our domestic credit facilities.
Thanks, Dev. And the second question on the debt, how long term are you contemplating for new Minetta Lane and Orpheum loans? Will the loan be subject to prepayment penalties?
We are currently negotiating the renewal of the Minetta Lane Orpheum loan for the next few years, bearing in mind our future development considerations for this loan that covers both the properties. We will ensure that we will retain the necessary flexibility with regard to the loan period so as to synchronize future development regarding these sites. We will be conscientious about future development of these sites, such we can grow shareholder value.
Thank you, Dev. So we now come to our last question, and I will field this one. It's on our G&A costs. What caused the large increase in G&A expense on a year-over-year basis, up some 23%? Should we assume the first quarter 2018 rate would be annualized? As the litigation expense is increasing, what is the possible and when do you anticipate resolution? Our non-segment general administrative costs are up in the current first quarter by approximately $1.4 million compared to the first quarter of 2017. This was, in large part, attributable to an increase in litigation and arbitration expense related to the Cotta derivative action, the Cotta employment litigation, and the Cotta Trust litigation. Of the increase, we estimate that approximately $800,000 was attributed to the defense of our company's interests in such matters. We anticipated that the derivative action would go to trial in January of this year. However, that trial date was continued by court order on the basis of a last-minute request by Mr. Cotter Jr. and has now been rescheduled for July 9, 2018. In December, the trial court in the derivative action dismissed with prejudice all claims against the majority of our directors, Judy Codding, William Gould, Edward L. Kane, Doug McEachran, and Michael Grotniak. It is anticipated that the remaining defendant directors and the company will bring additional potentially dispositive motions before the court prior to July 9th. A significant portion of the costs related to those potentially dispositive motions were booked in the March quarter of this year. The company is legally obligated to advance the cost of defense of our remaining defendant directors, and it is anticipated that such costs, depending on the court's orders and the scope and extent of the issues which Mr. Cotter Jr. elects or is permitted to litigate at trial, will likely be in excess of $2 million. We believe that our defendant directors have good and valid defenses to all the claims being asserted against them by Mr. Cotter Jr. The employment arbitration is currently scheduled to be heard in October of this year. The Cotter Trust litigation relating to who controls the majority of the voting power of our company has been resolved in favor of the position being asserted by Ellen Cotter and Margaret Cotter, that Ellen Cotter and Margaret Cotter are the sole co-trustees of the living trust and that Margaret Cotter is the sole trustee of the voting trust, and that Mr. James J. Cotter Jr. is not currently a trustee of either trust. Accordingly, the position of our company that Ellen Cotter and Margaret Cotter vote more than a majority of the voting power of our company has now been judicially established. The Cotter Trust litigation relating to Mr. Cotter Jr.'s endeavors to have a temporary trustee ad litem appointed to market the voting common stock, eventually to be owned by the voting trust, is currently before the California Court of Appeals. As you may recall, the trial court's appointment of such a temporary trustee has been stayed by the appeals court. And that brings us to the end of the question and answer session. We are available for any follow-up discussions and will be presenting on Thursday the 24th at the B. Riley 19th Annual Institutional Investor Conference in Santa Monica, and on Thursday, June 7th in New York City at Gabelli's 10th Annual Movie and Entertainment Conference. We hope to see you there. Additional information regarding the conferences are included on our website, and we look forward to keeping you updated on our progress and results. Once again, we appreciate you listening to the call today, and thank you for all of your questions and interest in our company.